Okay, so last week we began the discussion of Perek Tess, the ninth Perek. A few brave souls made their way over here in the difficult weather. It's interesting. Usually, when you hear the Megillah on Purim, you know Haman gets hung, and that's kind of the end of it. You kind of wait for it to end.
Yes, that's when the falls
were. Right. You know, okay, figure that then you start looking at the watch at that point. But the truth of the matter is there's plenty of story to go afterwards. There's a lot to talk about. So in fact, all the laws, all the halachas that are related to Purim only come in later. So today we'll begin to discuss a little bit the institution of the holiday of Purim. Right, that had to happen after the miracle. And together with that, the specific mitzvahs, the commandments that come with Purim, including the idea of Shalach Manos, Matanos Lev Yonim, reading the Megillah, etc. So what we discussed at the time is this is a little bit of an odd type of holiday, right? Most holidays are the same world round, right? On the first day of Tishrei, we have Rosh Hashanah, everybody. On the 10th day of Tishrei, we all have Yom Kippur. On the 15th day, we have Sukkot, and they're same with Pesach, etc. The only exception to this rule is Purim. Purim has Purim for walled cities and Purim for unwalled cities. Right? Purim in unwalled cities, Denver was not walled in the time of Yehoshua. Right? So therefore, in Denver, we keep Purim on what day of Adar? That's right, the 14th. However, in places like Jerusalem, right? They have it on which day? The 15th. So that's a little bit odd. Why do we exactly have different days for different areas? What made them decide to do this? So we will start with Pasuk Yud Zayin, page 48 in the Art Scroll 5 Megillus edition, where it says as follows. Bayom shlosha asar achodesh adar, v'noach ba'arba asar bo, v'asar so yom mishte v'simcha. In the cities outside of the capital, right, the original decree was for the Jews to be wiped out on the 13th day of Adar. So on the 13th day of Adar was the battle where the Jews were victorious. And therefore, on the 14th day, when they rested, that became the holiday. V'ha'yehudim asher b'shusha nikalu b'shlosha asar bo, u'v'arba asar bo, however, in Shushan itself, in the capital, remember they were given an additional day to fight. So they fought, that's correct, on the 13th and the 14th day, and therefore they did not celebrate until the 15th. Let's take a look at the Maharal. The Maharal Miprag, in the first of our sources, right, HaYehudim Asher B'Shusha Nikalu B'Yud Gimel V'Yudach V'Noach B'Tesvav, that the Jews that were within the capital of Shushan, they fought on the 13th and the 14th, and they rested on the 15th. V'Etzal Shar Medinas Kav V'Noach Me Oyveim V'Lo Etzal Shushan. So the first thing he says, if you look closely, there is an additional word. It says earlier that they rested from their enemies, but here it only says that they just rested. He said, let's think of the story. The entire story of Achashverosh and Haman and Achashverosh deciding to kill Haman, that all happened in the capital. In the capital itself, everybody knew what Achashverosh was thinking. And everybody knew that Achashverosh originally said kill the Jews, but he had a very significant change of heart when he realized that his wife was actually Jewish. And he did like this wife, correct. Right. So based on that, a decision was made that, in fact, he liked the Jews now. So everyone in the capital knew not to hurt the Jews. So therefore, everyone in the capital were not going to really attack. And therefore, it was really the Jews of Shushan felt somewhat secure. However, as we said very early on, the monarchy, the kingdom of Achashverosh went from Hodu, from India, to Kush, to Ethiopia. So just because things are people in Persia knows, doesn't mean that the Indians and the Ethiopians ever got the word. So the real danger, he says, was on the fringes, not so much in the capital itself. Yes?
It's hard for me to get a feel for what it was like then, but it feels very fluid about Ahasuerus didn't like the Jews, so it was easy and people were really prepared to kill them. And then, just as fluid quickly, are Jews that unpopular there? I mean, what do we know about that?
Susie?
Why is that year different than the other
year? I'm saying, is that this? Jews are easy to pick off as usual? I mean,
it sounds that way. That's kind of the way it's been since time immemorial.
Okay.
I don't know. Again, I cannot speak to the history of the Persian Jew at the time, but based on the historic evidence that we have, this doesn't come as a shock.
Right. I'm not shocked. I'm just, it just feels very fluid is all I'm saying.
Right. You know, again, that by and large, you know, that it seems that the general the regular folk, you know, weren't going to go out and kill Jews, but given the opportunity,
they would.
Right? They were pretty open-minded to the possibility.
Okay. Right? I mean, I'm like in my own mind trying to think: is this like Indians? Is this like black people? Is this like?
It's like Jews
in America, right?
It's a lot like Jews.
We're not like any of that.
Right. That's kind of the way it is. This has been the way it's been for a few centuries now. We've had a few tough centuries. We're due for a turnaround.
Yeah, go against whatever his will is.
Right, particularly since he tends to kill the people who go against his will, right? Yeah. Based on the people that we have met, you know, from his wife Vashti to Haman, anyone who's ended up on the wrong side of the king also ended up on the wrong side of the ground. That's just kind of the way things have gone. So,
okay.
Right, so that's the idea. So the idea is that there was a different war being fought in Shushan and then
out of Shushan.
Out of town from Shushan. Right? So he says, in Shushan, there wasn't really an issue. That's what doesn't say they rested from their enemies, because they didn't really have enemies there. However, throughout the rest of the kingdom, there were definitely people who were against them. So again, so the Maharal begins the idea by saying that it was different, right? The Purim miracle in Shushan was different than the Purim miracle elsewhere because the danger was less. Based on that, the Ramban, who really predated the Maharal, but given that background, we can get a better understanding of, tries to explain what exactly is going on, why we're having 2 days. So it says as follows. So when he first announced that we're going to destroy the Jews, the further out you were, the bigger your danger. Besides everything else, if you're living in Shushan, Shushan's a walled city, right? You have an opportunity to defend yourself. If you're living out in the boonies, right, there's no way to defend yourself, right? So they were in the greatest danger from the get-go. Right, if I was in a walled city, there's potential to protect yourself. If you're living outside a walled city, there's nothing. Let me just finish reading that. So he says that, remember, there are Jews living throughout. The only Jews that we really know about outside of Shushan at this point is the Jewish community of Israel. Correct. There are Jews that are living in Israel already under the leadership of Ezra. Correct. So we can get insight into what was going on by looking at Ezra. And in Ezra, you get the impression that once this decree was given, everybody was mobilizing. So actually, the Jews outside of Shushan were really in significant danger. They had no ways of protecting themselves, and they had a local mob that was happy to join in.
We always we're not organized, we don't have weapons,
Right, but beside the bah, which is obviously a very deep thought that we have to take into consideration, we're concerned about then right now. Well, we'll get to the other babes afterwards.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
No, again, there were people. There were clearly there were anti-Semites, but there was no real possibility that the anti-Semites would be able to successfully mount an attack, being that the king's forces were against them. Right, so there were people that were worth destroying. Right, there were sons of Haman, etc. No, he was not involved, but on the other hand, he made it clear which way he wants this to go. Ukshanasa hanes also kulam yom noach mishter v'simcha. So when the miracle happened, then actually the people who lived outside of Shushan were quicker to institute a holiday because they felt the danger that much more. They say v'shar Yehuda asher b'diyas hamelach achash yes nikaru v'amud al nafshon b'yom shosho savinof arbaasa v'asa so yom mishter v'simcha. Right, so he says that they right away upon surviving Yud Gimel Adar made a great day on Yud Aleph because they truly felt the salvation. Shoshon also gamki machras hanes shalahem v'zeh yebishnas hanes bolvad. Shushan followed, and they were very happy when they got by, but it was not the same level. Therefore, the Ramban suggests that the people that lived outside of Shushan had such a great miracle happen to them, such a great salvation, that they right away said the 14th day of Adar will be a day of celebration forever.
So were they celebrating or were they defending?
They were defending on the 13th and they were celebrating on the 14th.
So okay.
And they said, and from here on in, this day, mark the date, the 14th day of Adar will be a day that we will celebrate from time forever. Yes?
What day was that they shouldn't they shouldn't kill the Jews? Because you tell me from the Hodu the Akush, and they surely didn't have airplanes at that time.
That is correct. They did not have airplanes at the time.
So those mules.
We said that the word actually got out in Sivan. Right? So it was 10 months for it to get out.
How many days was the actual war or the fighting?
Like 1 day outside of Shushan, 2 days inside of Shushan. Yep. Puts the 6 day war to shame. Right? So the difference here is because, again, we said for various reasons, right? Either because they were less defended or because the will of the king was not as well known. The danger was much greater and the fear was much greater outside of Shushan. And because of that, the salvation was greater. And therefore, right away, they turned around and said, okay, we, in fact, are setting this forever. The people in Shushan were never that nervous to start with. So again, when it passed, they were happy, they celebrated. But for that year only, and they did not accept originally that this should be a day for time immemorial. So therefore, la'achim yikam b'shanim habos, omu prozim v'nog atzim asos yom arbaos or simcha mishtabal yom tov. So therefore, the next year and the year after that, and the year after that, everybody outside of Shushan was celebrating.
On the 14th.
Avol mukafim lo asukum. But the walled cities, who were never that nervous to start with,
weren't.
Like, no, that was nice. We're happy. But there was not a celebration. Because they had a greater miracle in the non-walled cities. Right? So therefore, if you look at the original pasuk, look at Yud Zion, it says that it doesn't mention anything about the walled cities. It says that the non-walled cities establish the holiday, because they established it years in advance historically. Years later, when the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah realized that there is a source for this, and in fact this is something that should be celebrated, then the walled cities joined in as well. But as an indication that this was a later celebration, they were put on a different day.
So before that,
before that, it was a local celebration.
But were they celebrating in the walls?
They were not celebrating in the walls at all.
So right? They didn't observe at all?
At all. The first year they did. They celebrated the victory at the time. But the next year and the year after and the year after that, they didn't.
Got it.
Right? Only years later did it become clear, and then they joined in. But again, since it was a different type of celebration, they get put on a different day. Right. Yes?
It was like when the
but there's a lot of things that have to do with walled cities. Is there a common thing between all of them besides the walls?
Not really. There's again, what does Gol Hadam have to do with walled cities?
Because where you can kill, where the Ratzeach can be killed by the Gol Hadam, I think. Where
he gets killed outside of the...
Yeah, but if he's on a tree and then the branches extend...
That doesn't really make a difference if it's in your miklat, he can. If it's not, again, if he's outside of your miklat, whether it's a walled city or a non-walled city, he can be killed all the same.
Right, but Michael has a whole discussion about where.
That's a matter of inches we're talking about there. It's not a difference.
There's no commonality between all of the halakhas.
Right. The question is, again, what we'll have to discuss going forward is, okay, this is the difference between Shushan and everywhere else.
Other walled cities.
Right. Why? Stockholm, right? Stockholm, they argue, is a walled city from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun.
Really?
Right? Goes back that far. What? Right. So that's exactly my question, right?
There was a question between Yerushalayim versus Shushan, like when Yerushalayim had a walled
city. Right. Well, Yerushalayim is probably the primary case of a walled city at this point. There aren't that many Jews in Shushan at this point. It did. Yes, the walls of Yerushalayim go back. What? Again, maybe not the walls that we have right now.
They keep extending.
Right, but again, in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, it was a walled city. Right? Again, that wall might have been replaced. Like the Kotel itself.
It's one of the walls.
Right, but it's not. But the Kotel, right, only the bottom six bricks are actually from the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and then you have Herodian bricks, and then the top three, four rows of the Kotel date to the 20th century. Right? The top of the Kotel is pretty new. So, you know, but again, the fact that the walls, that the Yaffa gate might only be Herodian, doesn't mean there wasn't a gate beforehand. So they now wanted to establish this as a holiday. So we now have Pasuk Yates. So we said, they celebrated on the 14th outside of the walled cities and 15th inside. So this is Al Kena Yehudim Haprazim Ayoshim Behere Ari Haprazos Osim Eshom Arba Asar Lechodesh Adar Simcha Mishte VeYom Tovu Mishloach Manos Ish L'Reyu. So again, this seems to be a strong proof to the Ramban. It says, okay, so they set up on the 14th day will be a day of simcha umishte, right? Happiness and partying, right? A holiday, mishloach manos, one to another. Now again, we'll have to look back at this pasuk a little bit because it does not talk at all about the walled cities. The next pasuk doesn't either. Right, this just talks about that. That's point number one. Point number two is, isn't there a mitzvah or two missing on that list? Matanos Le'Avyonim is not on the list in that pasuk, oddly enough. So we're going to have to... What? Tzedakah is Matanos Le'Avyonim. Right, so that is the question, why not? What? Right, so it's going to say it later, but why didn't it say it now? Therefore, Chaf, Vayichto Mordechai Yasa Derim Ha'era, Vayishach Svarim El Kol HaYehudim Asher B'chol HaMidos HaMelchach Sherosh HaKrovim V'HaRachokim. So Mordechai went and he wrote down these things and he sent it throughout the nation. What are these things? What did Mordechai write?
How to celebrate?
Right, so the Megillah would seem to be a good choice, so we'll have to consider that. Or another possibility is he's sending out a message saying, by the way, you guys are supposed to celebrate Purim without necessarily having the Megillah. So this, of course, if it's the Megillah, the question is, we have to talk a little bit about the writing of the Megillah. Who wrote the Megillah? So according to the Gemara, you're wrong. What? We'll see. So let's take a look. Let's start with an interesting comment of the Gemara, the Bavli, in number 3. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Shochel Hem Esther L'Chachamim. Rav Shmuel Yehuda says, Esther sent a message to Chachamim. Kav'unei L'Doros. I want this to be set for the generations. Meaning?
Write it down.
I'd like a Megillah, please. Shochel La, Kina At Me'oreres Aleinu, Levein Ha'umos. He said, "Boy, this is going to lead to jealousy. That in the event that people read a story about how the Jews outsmarted everyone and they killed the non-Jews, this is not a good story. We don't want this out in public." She responded and said, "It's already in the history books. One way or the other, they're going to know about it, the Gentiles. Write it." The Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, has a little bit of a different take on it, and says, "Rav Yirmiyah b'shem Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, ma asu Mordechai Marachah Esther." So the question is, what did Mordechai and Esther? Kisvu ageres shochu raboseinu. They wrote a letter to the rabbis. Kein amru lehem mekavu matem aleichem shnei yomim halelu b'chol shana. Will you accept these 2 days every year as a holiday? Right. So this isn't talking about the Megillah. This is talking about the holiday. Amru lahen lo dainu hatzaras habaos aleinu ela she'atem rotzim lahosif alav. Said every year we're going to celebrate Purim. In fact, you should know the Nazis very much pointed to Purim as, you know, the bloodthirstiness of the Jews.
The Jews were bloodthirsty, not Haman.
No. Who did Haman kill in the whole story?
No one.
Nobody. And who did the Jews kill? Hundreds of people.
He wanted to.
What?
He was planning on it. He just didn't have much choice on the matter.
Well, again, who said he was planning on it? The Jews said. So they killed him and all of his family and all of his neighbors.
Well, he had a pretty big gallows in his backyard.
Well, okay. You know, maybe he liked to play basketball and he figured if I could hit from 50 yards, I could easily hit from 10 feet. You know, so they said, right, so that's what the rabbi said. Maybe this story should better not be written. So they sent back a second letter. What was the second letter? This is what you're nervous about. At the end, it's going to be written anyhow. So this is how it gets in. Right, so again, I obviously agree with you. But the Nazi propaganda machine did not. So it's interesting. The Mishpat Zov in the next pasuk writes something very interesting. We've been mentioning from time to time that the name of God does not appear in the Megillah. And whenever it says Hamelech, you can read it as God as well. In most cases, the idea of a Hamelech Megillah, that the each column begins with the word Hamelech. So we didn't discuss so much as why not. So the standard answer given is why not is because it says Esther min haTorah minayin. Where's an allusion to Esther in the Torah? It says, Anochi hastir astir. My face will be hidden. The idea is that the entirety of the story of Purim, the face of God is hidden. It could be seen by just very talented political manipulation by Mordechai. So the face of God is hidden, so in the Megillah it's hidden. There's a different approach here. He says, Zeh ha-siba, she-ashem ha-shem o-niska b-Megillah, ki ha-Megillah nechtuva ba-oso ofen, k'mo she-ha-ksuva b-sefer zichros melech malchei madayo paras. Basically, their whole reason for writing it, and the way they got rid of the arguments, is we're just writing what was written already. Basically, the story of the Megillah, according to this, is following the story as was written in the Median and the Persian history books, and therefore, clearly, there was no mention of God in the Persian version of what happened here. Rashi here says, "Vayichto Mordechai hi haMegillah hazos kamo shehi." So Rashi follows the opinion of Dr. Samuels, that was Terry Samuels, who says that, in fact, what was written by Mordechai was the Megillah, which would mean that Mordechai was the author of the Megillah. That's against the Gemara. Right? If you look at the Gemara in Bava Basra, number 7, Anshe Knesset HaGadola Kosu Yecheskel V'Shneimasar Daniel U'Megillas Esther. According to our tradition, the Anshe Knesset HaGadola wrote 4 books of the canon, They wrote the book. They wrote the book of Yecheskel, the Trei Asar, the book of Daniel, and the book of Esther. How do we deal with this? Probably the best way to deal with it is to note that Mordechai was a member of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So, so based on that, that would be a way of approaching this. So even according to that, it might not be a problem. This idea I'll just mention in passing because it's a little bit relevant. So tell me, when a miracle happens to us, we're allowed to make a holiday?
Why not?
In general,
right.
If we did it every time a miracle happened, we'd have it off.
There would never be any altar side of the street parking.
Mm.
But that was not a national holiday. Did they say Hallel on that day?
No.
What?
People did.
So this is the famous Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer says, L'saim b'nechama, it's the end of a not as happy tshuva. He said, the kviyas yomer b'yom shenasi esnes hukal v'chomer d'oraisa. In the event that a miracle happens to you, you have a biblical obligation to in fact make a holiday. In fact, the holidays of Purim and Hanukkah are biblically mandated.
Because we were on. Rabbi, we were
finish
on.
The yawn, yes. So this is quite a statement. We know that Purim and Hanukkah are the ultimate in the rabbinic ones. How could the Chasam Sofer say this? The concept of having a Hanukkah, the concept of having a Purim, that is biblical. To light Hanukkah candles, to give shalach manos, right? To get drunk and dress up, that's rabbinic.
What about
Yom HaTzmaut? Ah, so I hadn't even thought of that.
Well, that's why you
came to be here. Yes. Gave my money's worth tonight. So therefore, so if our over veino osa shum zechri yemei Hanukkah upurim over al mitzvahs ase daraisa. If I go through the entire Hanukkah, the entire Purim, and I don't do anything to commemorate the day, right? That if that's the case, I haven't violated a rabbinic ordinance. I have violated a biblical ordinance for ignoring a miracle of God. Acha osa shum zecher. However, if I do anything, I spring a dreidel, I eat a latke, right? Whatever it is, I make some indication of what today is. That's it. You did the daraisa. Al kapanos biyom echo biyeh Chanukah afilo hidlik ner. I didn't like any candle. Lo shalach manos. I never sent shalach manos before in kadome ein el avarian drabanan. So he says that there is a biblical obligation when a national miracle happens to somehow or another take that day and make some reference to it. It has been suggested that that might be a modern day issue with Yom HaAtzmaut. This Chasam Sofer is the source for those people who would like to celebrate, or at least make it a mention of Yom HaAtzmaut. Right? Whether, in fact, whatever one's supposed to do on the Yom HaAtzmaut, if one's supposed to have a barbecue, right? Or if you're supposed to eat blue and white cookies, or those little cupcakes with the flags in them, that's a favorite. Right? Or have some sort of tekes or whatever it is, that's rabbinic. But the fact that something has to be done to mark the date, whether it's Yom HaTzmaut or Yom Yerushalayim, right, just like they did it on Purim, it would seem that we should have to do it here as well.
So, is Rabbi Rath, is Hanot Levionim also rabbinic then?
I'll tell you, it's definitely rabbinic.
Even though it's in here.
What? Like, this is not the Torah. This is Ksuvim.
Right.
Right? So again, for something to be Minat Torah, it has to be in the Torah. So therefore, everything related to Purim is rabbinic. Whether it's Mishloach Manos, it's not. These are not from the 613.
Got it.
Right, this is above and beyond. These are the rabbinic mitzvahs. Okay, the Meshech Chochma. Yes.
Well, does it have anything to do that these holidays have to be recognized? Because If not, we would have been wiped out.
That's exactly why we are.
That's why.
Basically, Marcia, I'm going to explain to you the entire Jewish calendar, right? Uh-huh. This is all you need to know. Basically, there's two types of days in the calendars. It's they tried to kill us, they failed, let's eat. The second one is they tried to kill us, they were successful, let's fast. That's the entirety of the Jewish calendar. That's all what you need to know. Right, the rest is extra. That's
commentary.
Right, as they say, the rest is all commentary. But those are the basics. The Meshech Chochmah is a very interesting thought here. So he said, in general, when we go and commemorate a day, if I told you that there was a great war on the 13th day of Adar, yes, and we were victorious, what day would you think we should commemorate?
I think the 13th.
But for some reason here, they chose not to do it. They chose to commemorate the day afterwards, whether it was the 14th or
but
the 15th.
Is that the day that was selected in the original?
No. Uh-huh. The 13th was the day of selection, which is why the 13th was the war.
Okay.
That very year, they couldn't
technically
celebrate while they were in the middle of killing people.
I assume by the end of the day, it was over.
Right.
Yeah,
but
you know,
food.
Right.
That's true.
Some worry that it wasn't quite over.
Right, no, but again, it doesn't. That's not the implications. The question is that, in fact, the Megillah spells it out. The Megillah says they fought on the 13th,
they
rested on the 14th, so they decided they're going to celebrate on the 14th.
On the rest day.
Right. Who said? Could have been those over. They were done by 3, by siesta. It was all over.
By 3 o'clock. We're done.
War's over. So the Meshech Chaim B'nei Purim, well, also Yonta B'yom Shenitra Haman, we didn't celebrate the day that Haman was hanged. Oh, B'yom Shehargu B'Soneim, or the day, hanged.
Either or right. Either or right.
Either or right.
Potato. So it wasn't on the day that as Chai's grandma said, that they hung him up, the Haman, and it wasn't on the day where they won the war. Ki zeh ein simcha lifnei Am Yisrael. Rak hayontev hu vayom asher nochu me'aveihem. We as Jews do not have any joy in watching our enemies being killed. Haman being hung or hanged does not give us any joy. Us killing people in war does not give us joy. The fact that no one wants to kill us, that's where the joy is. Right? Let's say there was a problem, that there were snakes in the road. People tell me when they moved to Denver, there were still snakes in the road. Right? Drive down Hampton, there were rattlesnakes. You remember that?
No.
Me neither. No, anybody?
There were snakes in my neighborhood when I was
kids,
and it was like still a field, still
being built. Right, okay, there you go. So, both you and Jack Zerobnik remember it well. So, ki raka simcha al menucha. Right, so that's the idea. Right, it's a statement. He says, I want you to celebrate not the day of the war, but rather the day of peace. That happens to be a very interesting thought, and it really works in very neatly in explaining to us what happened here. Chaf Aleph. So what does it say? Rekayim aleihem rios osim es yom arba asa yom rechodesh adar ves chamisha asa arba b'chol shana v'shana. So now, originally we said the prazim, the outer cities, celebrated on the 14th. So now when Mordechai establishes the yontif, years later, he says, okay, it's the 14th for you and the 15th for you. So specifically, like the days that they rested, And this month, the month of Adar, v'nahapohu, that switched from yagon. What's a good word for yagon?
I don't know what that means.
Sorrow. To simcha, to happiness, right? Me'evel, for mourning, liyom tov, to a holiday. La'asosu som yimei mishtev v'simcha. You should make them into days of partying and happiness. Mishloach monos ishre'ehu. And now he adds, u'matanos le'evyonim. Right, so in the original go-around, Matanos Levyonim did not exist. Mordechai adds it. So a few comments on this. One is the month. How did the month get involved with this? Right? Just because you're making a holiday on the 14th, on the 15th, how did it say, now this is the month that has flipped? It wasn't the month, it was just those days.
I don't understand your question, sorry.
My question is, if you look at the words of the verse 22, mm-hmm. It says specifically, these are the days, and the month that switched from sorrow to happiness. So
the
how
month
did
that switched?
You have it in front of you? Have you been reading?
Saying,
is that what it said?
Yeah.
22?
Yes, I'm saying, are we talking about the month of those days, with those days?
Well, again, why the whole month? It's those days.
Ah.
That's the question.
That's your question.
Right.
Okay, I'm with you.
Right, so where did that come from?
Well, you have to know where
it's a nice song.
Right,
oh,
you have
Purim.
To know.
Not only days, you have to know what
was.
So in the month.
No, it says the days, month that switched.
Worried,
look at the words. The word says, it specifically
that's
says.
Weird. That's weird.
Right.
Zion
Adar is always Moshe Rabbeinu's art site. It never changes.
But you celebrate Purim on the second Adar.
What's the switch?
So what does that do with? Right. No, but the month that was Nehapach from Yagon to Simcha.
Well, it depends how you read it.
I read it like that. How do you read it? I'm open-minded.
It says Nehapach Lahem.
I want the Hachodesh in this.
Nehapach Lahem. Hachodesh Asher.
The month which? Switch from them.
Nehapach is from Yagon to Simcha.
But what Nehapach from Yagon to Simcha? I'm educated. The month is, but the question is, but why?
Yes,
why the month?
That's
right?
Weird.
Right, you know?
I don't see where it says the month.
So it's interesting. The assumption the Yerushalmi makes is the holiday of Purim somehow permeates the entire month of Adar. If you look at the Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi asks an interesting question. Let's say I'm going to be out of town for Purim. I'm going to be someplace where I can't have a Megillah. And I'm leaving on Zion Adar. I have no idea. So, Terry Samuels. So, hi, Aaron. So can I read the Megillah earlier in the month? Or later in the month? Or a different month?
Well,
Dr. Pearl Berger, who was for many years the Dean of Libraries at Yeshiva University, was sent on a special mission to Vilna to work on the Vilnius Library, and she was going to be there for Purim, and there's no minion at this point in Vilna anymore. So her husband sent her with a Megillah and said, you'll read it for yourself. Women Achayev.
Right.
You'll have a women's Megillah reading for yourself. But let's say, could he have just read it for her before she left? The Yerushalmi says as follows. Number 10. Tani b'shem Rav Nosson, koha chodesh kasher l'kriyas Megillah. At any point in the month, you can read the Megillah. Ma taima? Why you see this? V'ha chodesh asher napach lahem miyogon l'simcha. That's what it says. The month. They understand the pasuk that the holiday permeates the month of Adar. The entire Adar has part of it. Amar Rav Chalbo b'vad ar chamisha asar. No, only up until the 15th, only the first half.
So that was a trick question.
Because it says lo yavor. But it indicates that, in fact, according to the Yerushalmi at least, you could read the Megillah if you're stuck on Zion Adar, on Gimel Adar, that would be fine. Do we follow this lahalacha? Is this, in fact, true? So I see Dr. Samuels nodding her head no. And she's wrong. It says in number 11, Hamafarej B'yam. If somebody is traveling by sea, vayotze b'shayor, you're going in a caravan, ein motzi megillah lahalo holich imo, and you don't have a megillah to take with you, yikrena b'yigibel, over your base, over chadasar, below bracha. You can read it 11, 12, 13 without a bracha. V'im iefshel hamtin ad yom malolu. Let's say you can't wait that long. Yesh yom shikara afilu mitchil hachodesh. You can read it from the beginning of the month. Mishnah Berurah says why. The ksiv hachodesh she nahapoch miyagon l'simcha.
That's the reason.
What? But again, but this is a statement. There's not a why, but this is it actually is telling us that when Mordechai made this announcement, he says the entire Adar
is permeated.
Is permeated, and in fact, the Gra number 13 explains to us. What?
Why not on the 22nd?
Well, you can't. Right, if you weren't able to do it on Purim, you can't take
it.
Because it will see later on. It says v'lo yavor, and they cannot go past these days.
It's the whole month is permeated.
Yeah, so again, the assumption, but again, but he said lo yavor up until he had not passed it. What?
There. It seems a little arbitrary.
That's what it says,
yeah, yeah.
The Gra, in fact, uses this to explain a question. We all say Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Besimcha. Why? Do we say, you know, Mishenichnas Nisan Marvin Besimcha because we're going to have Pesach? Quite the opposite for the women, right? Do you tell me, right? Right? Mishenichnas Sivan Marvin Besimcha? Marvin Betorah, whatever it is? So he said, why should Mishenichnas Adar be any different? So he said, this is the reason. Because it says, HaChodesh Asher Napach Hu Meyagon Lesimcha. Because this month has gone from a month of Yagom to a month of Simcha. Therefore, because it's a month of Simcha, Misha Nichnas Adar Marbin Be Simcha. That's how it goes. That's the reason for it. Only on the actual day. On the actual day. Right. Yes. This is. It's. Yeah. There's a reason why we set it for that day. So. Yes. Your yotze without a bracha. Brachos are not ma'akev. So that is the story. So that is part one. So this, in fact, you see that it is true that it the word of HaChodesh, that's a very important word, because it, when Mordechai made the days of Purim, he kind of sprinkled some holiday throughout at least the first half of the month. Now, what about this addition, all of a sudden, of Matanos Le'Avyonim? Where did that come out? That we said three psukim ago, right? When they originally set it up, it wasn't there. Mordechai adds it. So the Ritva makes an interesting comment. Ritva Pirbi Yerushalmi Shekol Poshet Yado Litol Yitnuah. Tzedakah on Purim is different than any other. A guy walks into shul and says, "You know, I'm collecting for whatever cause." You have a right to ask, can I see your paperwork? Is there? I don't have to automatically start giving out
really?
Money. Really?
I thought you really shouldn't be asking that. You should just give.
No. I mean, I have a limited amount of stock of money to give out.
I get that.
On Purim. Oh, on Purim.
On Purim. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying on a typical day.
Ah, sorry.
On a typical day, a person works. On Purim, Patty is correct. Patty Zetlin, that is. Who said, where she says that, in fact, on Purim, the Yerushalmi says, you give. Why? Why do we change the rules for Purim? Well, shouldn't the rules of tzedakah be the same all over? So the Ritva explains that, no, Purim is not tzedakah. Purim's a different story. Right? The aim of Dr. Vim, who ani v'roi litim, you have to check why. She'ein nesina zem midin tzedakah. Great aside. Ela midin simcha. This isn't something that I'm giving tzedakah, I'm giving charity. This is joy. You want a few bucks? Here's a few bucks. It's the spirit of the day. So that's the reason, since this isn't for tzedakah. Anybody who asks, you just give the money.
But Rabbi, why is that different from Devarim, like with the Talmud, when you go and you have simcha for the ani that's with you?
So this is separate. They all of a sudden they said, no, on this day, because what's the next words in the Ritva? But there's no rule. So I'm going to send out shalach manos. I'm going to send out food. I'm going to send out my basket. So, do I specifically send it to the poor people?
That's assuming shalach manos
What? No, but the idea is, why do I give out shalach manos?
You give to your friends, you give to
right, make people happy. I'm giving gifts. I'm giving gifts. I in Shalosh Regalim, do I give out shalach manos?
No, but you give to everybody that's with you, because if you have simcha without giving to them, isn't that what the Rambam says is simchas baser and then simchas yantar?
Okay, right, but good. This isn't simchas yantar. This is a simcha of Klal Yisrael being together. Therefore, I'm supposed to give gifts to everyone, whether they need my gifts or not. So the Ritva is saying that Matanos Lev Yonim is similar in terms of, it's not a matter that I'm taking people who are in a difficult financial situation and getting them out of it, which is usually what tzedakah is. This is a matter of simply, you want something, I give it to you. Now, the Alshich in Tehillim, out of all the interesting places, comments, this is a pasuk in Tehillim, Kilocha Torocha Ani, Shalozim Nachashveros. So he has a very interesting thought. He says the Aniyim actually were the only people who didn't deserve to die. Why? Why did we deserve to die in Purim? We went to
the
Mishta, correct. Right, we went to this, right? The poor people weren't invited. They weren't players.
You're talking about the beginning of the Megillah?
Of the Megillah.
Okay.
All the way in the beginning, right? Right? So they were never invited to the Suda. And in fact, when they had people bowing down to Haman, etc., and the idol, he didn't care about the poor people. That wasn't worth anything. So the poor people never sinned. They never bowed down. They never partook in it. So he says, therefore, Valkain b'shavo alav miyad shama. When the poor people prayed, we should be saved, they really deserved it. Because they never sinned. So, that's the reason why, l'chein yichui lotes le'matanos. Because the poor people saved our skins, their prayers are the ones that pulled us through. That's the reason why we have to give matanos le'avyonim. The Maloha Omer, written by Rav Aryeh Leib Tzins, I just point that out. Some people might know who he is, so most people don't. But he's a fellow who wrote many a fine sefer.
Modern or not
modern? 19th century.
Okay.
So I don't know if you call that modern or not.
I call that modern.
Okay, that's good. Here in Eidos, we call something 19th modern also. Policy. So he wants to know, so he finally asked the question, so tell me, why originally don't we talk about Matanos Lev Yonim, and only now, afterwards, we bring it in? He has a very interesting thought. We're running a little late, so maybe we'll do it outside. He said, the Purim story happens at a point in history where it's possible already for the Mashiach to come. And they sit back and they say, you know what? We wiped out Haman. We have killed Amalek. God is on our side. This must be the beginning. They're having more fun than we are. Of the ultimate redemption. He says, we know in the ultimate redemption, it won't be poor people anymore. So since the original, so we said the groundswell holiday of Yudalid, of the 14th, was made with the idea that we are celebrating the ultimate redemption, which has begun. Only later on, when Mordechai sets up his holiday, do we turn around and he says, no, that's not what it is. The poor people still have to be taken care of. That's why he introduces Matanos Lev Yonim, that which we did not have beforehand. I think this is as far as we make it today. Hopefully next week, if things work out, maybe we will actually finish.
Can I ask you just a quick question?
And we have to have a seum. Yeah, sure.
I don't know. When you talk about Mordechai setting it up and make, you know, adding, and do you think there's any conversation with Esther?